behind her. "Have you two met?" I asked. The crows said something like, "Wah! We're on the..." The girl began to shake. If possible, she became even paler. Her jaw seemed clenched so tight her teeth ought to be cracking. I made a mental note to discuss this with Mergen. He knew something about the crow. What could rattle the girl so badly? The crow laughed. It whispered,
"Sister! Sister!"
and launched itself back into the sunlight, where it startled some passing brother into a fit of curses. I stared at the girl, watched the inner steel reassert itself. Her gaze met mine. I felt the fear within her evaporate. I was nothing to her, less than an insect, certainly less than a stubbed toe at the beginning of her long trek across the ages. Shuddering, I broke eye contact. That was a scary kid. Chapter 66. Our days began before sunrise. They ended after sunset. They included a great deal of training and exercise, of the sort that had been let slide for too long. Tobo worked with almost fanatic devotion to improve his skills as an illusionist. I insisted upon daily readings from the annals in an effort to reinforce the depth and continuity of brotherhood that was so much the foundation of what the company was. There was resistance at first, of course, but the message sank in at a pace not unrelated to a growing realization that we were going to go up onto the glittering plain. Really. Or we're going to die here in front of the Shadow Gate when Soulcatcher chose to write our final chapter. The renewed training paid dividends quickly. 8 days after we reduced the fort below the Shadow Gate, another mob like Suvrin's, but much larger, trudged in out of the country west of the new town. Thanks to Mergen, we had plenty of warning. With Tobo and Goblin assisting, we sprang a classic company ambush using illusions and nuisance spells that confused and disorganized a force that had had almost no idea what it was doing already. We hit fast and hard and mercilessly, and the threat evaporated in a matter of minutes. In fact, the relief force fell apart so fast we could not take as many prisoners as I wanted, though we did round up most of the officers. Suvrin generously identified those he recognized. Suvrin was practically an apprentice company man by now. So desperate was he to belong to something and to gain the approval of those around him. I felt halfway guilty exploiting him the way I did. The prisoners we did take became involuntary laborers in our preparations for the future. Most jumped on the opportunity, because I promised to release those who did work hard before we went up onto the plain. Those who failed to work hard would go along as porters. Somehow a rumor got started among the prisoners that human sacrifice might be involved in what we were going to be doing once we passed the Shadow Gate. I found Goblin in with One Eye, whose recovery seemed to have been sped by Goda's presence, possibly because he needed to be well enough to get away from her and her cooking. I do not know. They had the key laid out on a small table between them. Doge, Tobo, and Goda watched. Even Mother Goda kept her mouth shut. Sara was conspicuously absent. She was carrying her snit over Tobo too far.